I guess Pastor left, so he slapped his responsibility on me. Not sure how I feel about that, but anyway, we're going to be reading from Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. God, we are grateful to have this opportunity to be able to meet together and to be in your word again tonight. God, I pray that you would just bless this service, that you would open our hearts and speak to us. If there's anything that is in the way of you speaking to us, God, I pray that you would help us to get that right tonight and not go on living and hiding from you. God, I pray that you would just continue to help us to each day to seek you first and not be worried or anxious about what's going to happen with our physical needs. God, I do want to keep Pastor Andrew and Jackie in prayer as they are traveling back tomorrow and just keep them safe. Pray that you would just bless us now this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I requested singing that song. I thought that would be good, and I love that song. I've always loved that song ever since I was a kid. And this has, Matthew 6:33 has become my life verse because it's so important that we remember this and that we get this and that we live by this verse, seeking God first and not the things of this life. The things of this life are not what matters. It's only God that matters. So he gives us two options of things to seek. It's God or it's mammon. And the meaning of mammon is the money or desires of self, the things that please self and the things that we want to please our flesh. And he says you can't seek both at the same time. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you're seeking God, then you're not going to be able to seek yourself. If you're seeking self, you can't seek God because God and self are working against each other, always. The devil is trying to dictate the desires of self. God is trying to dictate your desires once you're saved to glorify him. The desires of self are opposite of God. The desires of God are opposite of self. And therefore, since we can't serve both at the same time, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you what you should serve. He doesn't give us the option. He doesn't say, well, it's better if you serve this, but you can also serve self if you want to, and that's fine. He doesn't say that. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not, you should probably do that, or it would be better in the long run if you would do that, or, you know, It's whatever you want. No, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He straightly commands us that. So the first point in my message is the two things that you shouldn't seek that Jesus tells us. So he says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. And again, Jesus doesn't give any room for argument. He doesn't say, you know, you probably shouldn't seek this stuff, or don't be worried about this stuff because it's not a big deal. He says, take no thought. That he leaves no room for any debate or argument. The meaning of take no thought does not mean that you don't think about it at all, don't plan ahead. Take no thought means do not be anxious. God does not want us to be anxious because he's the creator. He's the one that sustains us every day. And it's not going to do us any good. All it is a distraction from the devil if we're anxious about the desires of self and the physical needs that we have. So that's why he tells us, take no thought. And he doesn't leave us an option or doesn't tell us, doesn't try to justify it. He plainly says that. We don't need to worry about the nourishment. Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Our life consists of more than our food and drink. Yes, we all know that if you wouldn't eat, if you wouldn't drink, you would die. But that's not the main purpose of why God has placed us on the earth. We all know that if we ate and drank all the time, we probably wouldn't ever be able to get up because we'd be so fat. And that we all know that wouldn't be good because that causes health problems, it causes many problems. So that kind of shows us that that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to, and that's why down in verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He wants us to use our energy and our strength. He gives us food to bless us so we can use our energy and strength to build his kingdom and to seek God first. Then he goes on, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And this is where I think you can kind of see Jesus' humor in this, because he's like, come on, guys, you're people. And he said, look at the birds. The birds don't have souls. The birds are just little creatures that have no idea what they're even doing. But they don't have to work for their food. They don't go out and worry and not always talking about, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal and if I'm going to survive another day. God provides food for them. He says, if I provide food for the little birds who really have no eternal worth in the kingdom of God, why wouldn't I provide food for you who have eternal souls? And he just shows us that our worth is way more than birds, and he takes care of the birds, so why couldn't we trust him to take care of us? He created us just like he created the birds. So why wouldn't he take care of us like he takes care of the birds? We just try to take upon ourselves and get all worried and anxious about it, and it's really just a distraction from the devil trying to get us away from seeking God, because when we're worried about our physical needs and our desires of self, we can't seek God because we're too worried and worked up about this. He says in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? So I was puzzled on this verse for a while, and I couldn't figure out what it had to do with anything because it seemed really random. But finally it hit me that God says, Jesus said, he's the one that provides the food. You have to have food to grow, but I can't make myself grow. I can't wake up in the morning and say, all right, I'm going to grow 6 inches today because I want to be 6'10". I'm 6'4" right now. I know it doesn't look like it. But anyway, I can't tell myself I'm going to grow and grow. I have to have food to grow, but God is the only one that can take that food and allow that to help me to grow. So if God is the only one that can make me grow, then why wouldn't God provide the food that I need to grow? He wants us to grow. We have to be able to grow and keep growing our lives to give us that energy that we need to seek the kingdom of God. And that verse right there just goes to show us that we're dependent on God for everything that happens in our life. Anything from the smallest thing to the biggest thing that ever happens in our life, we're dependent on God in taking care of that, because we can't handle it on our own. We have no control over what happens. The second thing, in verse 28, he says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." So he says, why are you worrying about what clothes you have to wear and getting all caught up in that? He says, go out in the field and look at the lilies. Look at the flowers. They're the most beautiful things out there. He says they're more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. And we know that Solomon was blessed majorly by God, and he had the most beautiful clothes, the palace, he had everything. You would die if you'd seen it, because he had everything that man dreams of. I mean, he was rich. But God says that the lily has more beauty than that, because God created that beauty. It was not man-made beauty. And he said, the lilies, they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. They don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. God provides them the water they need, the nutrients in the soil, and they grow up to be the most beautiful things. So that illustration shows us that if we can rely on God to give us what we need and provide for our needs, we're going to turn out way more beautiful to him than if we try to work for everything ourselves and try to be anxious about it and worry about it and spending all of our time working and trying to get ahead and trying to get money, trying to get the good food, the nice clothes. If we can trust God to provide for those needs, he will make us the most beautiful person that we can be. He goes on then, and if we jump down to verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So he kind of gets on him a little bit. He's like, if I'm taking care of the lilies and making them grow and making them beautiful, why wouldn't I clothe you? Why wouldn't I take care of you? Again, the lilies, same thing kind of as the birds. The lilies have no eternal soul, no eternal value, but God's taking care of them, and he's making them beautiful and perfect how he wants them. So he says, if I take care of them, then why wouldn't I take care of you, who are better than any lilies or birds or anything? And he says in verse 30, he said, I take care of the grass. And in this culture, the weather was hot, and the grass would grow up in the morning and later in the evening, and then through the morning it would grow up and get nice and green. But the heat would come down in the middle of the day, and it was so hot it would wilt that grass and it would kill the grass. So he says, if I take care of and provide for that grass and make that grow, then why wouldn't I provide for you who live many years? So he kind of gets on. He said, oh, ye of little faith. So I can picture the tone that he uses there, and he's almost frustrated at why they're not having faith, because he's just saying, look at the grass. You don't ever think about how hard the grass works, because it doesn't. God takes care of it. But he said, the grass relies on me every day. Why can't you do that? He says then, if we go down to verse 31, he says, therefore, take no thought. Again, reiterating that point and just driving it into their heads. Therefore, take no thought. He said, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So why would you be anxious about your physical needs whenever he's just given us three different illustrations of things that he provides for that are the small things that we don't even think about as very useful or of much worth. He says, why would you be anxious about your physical needs if these things, these illustrations that I gave, I take care of them perfectly fine, and you know that I give them what they need. The second thing we see is in verse 34, the cares of tomorrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So when we wake up in the morning, we're going to have enough problems for one day in that day. We all know that. I'm pretty sure nobody's life is perfect here. If it is, I want to talk to you after the service. But anyway, we can't worry about, I can't wake up and try to worry about the problems that I'm going to have in 2 months. That's not going to work. And that's something that really just hit me from this passage as I was thinking about it. I was worrying about, in a couple months, I'm going to mission school. And I'm worrying about, how am I going to get the finances? How am I going to get where I need to be able to go to school? What's going to happen? How am I going to be able to be away from my girlfriend like that? How am I going to survive down there? My family, I'm going to be away from everybody I need and know. But that verse hit me, and it was when I was studying this passage that God says, don't think about that. You can plan ahead, but don't be anxious. Don't worry about that. That is in my hands. If I want you to go there, I'm going to take care of it. If I don't want you to go there, I'm going to shut you down. You're going to know. So he says, the things are going to happen each day. We're going to have enough trials, but the things of tomorrow are going to take care of themselves. So we're going to have trials, but God gives grace each day. In Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So God allows trials in our life every day to build us and to strengthen us, because if we didn't have trials, there'd be no opportunity to grow. But he also gives us the fresh grace and the strength we need each day to overcome those trials and be able to work through them and move on and grow. Like I said, one day has enough trials and temptations and troubles that it's dumb for us. If we would step back, it's kind of like the story that Brother Joel told this morning about the bologna sandwich. The guy packed a bologna sandwich in his lunch every day, but he hated bologna. He was digging his own grave. And that's what we do. If we wake up and we're worried about in 2 months what's going to happen, we're just stressing ourselves out needlessly. God allows us and wants us to give it to him and to trust him and to not have to worry about what's going to happen in 2 months. Like I said, it's good to plan ahead. God wants us to be good stewards, to plan ahead. And that doesn't mean that we need to worry. You have to know the difference between planning and worrying. You can plan, but leave those plans at the vulnerability of God, because he can change what he wants you to do. So then we come to the one thing that you should seek, is my second point, and that's in verse 33, and I think I'm not even near exhausting this verse, because there's so much that's packed into this verse, but we could go on for days, months, years, unpacking what's in this verse, the true meaning, but this is how God spoke to me with it. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's kind of three things in this that we can seek. And one is we need to seek the kingdom of God for salvation. I don't know if everybody here is saved tonight or not. I can't judge. Only God knows. But it's impossible to seek the kingdom of God if you're not saved. We, without the Holy Spirit, our righteousness is like filthy rags, God says. We can't do it on our own. And so, Jesus came and died on the cross, came down from heaven, lived on earth, fulfilled the whole law, and died on the cross and rose again So that way, we could be saved and we could seek the kingdom of God like God wants us to. And I strongly encourage you, if you are not saved tonight, and like I said, it's only between you and God. Nobody else knows, nobody else can judge. But if you are not saved tonight, please, please, we're going to have an invitation at the end, but please talk to somebody and get that settled tonight, because that is the greatest decision you'll make in your life, and it's going to make your life 100 times better, not easier. We have more trials as Christians because we're trying to follow God in a wicked world, but it's going to make your life a lot better because you have the joy and peace from the Lord that only He can give and that nothing else can offer. The second thing we see is that we need to seek the kingdom of God for souls. Seek it for souls. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So as Christians, God gives us the responsibility. At the end of the chapter of Matthew, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So he gives us that as Christians, that responsibility to go out and to win people to him. He gives, and we are privileged. We are very privileged. I do not feel one bit worthy to be up here preaching the gospel, but God uses unworthy people. If he used only worthy people, he wouldn't be able to use any of us, because none of us are worthy. And I hope you know that. But he gives us that responsibility, seek ye the kingdom of God. And so that's our job, that's our responsibility, to bring others to him continually and be seeking that in everything we do in life. Not just at church. That's not just the preacher's job. That's not just my job because I'm up here preaching. That's every single one of you's job who has been truly saved. You have that gift, you have that message, God wants you to share it. God wants you to keep seeking to build his kingdom, to use that energy. Yes, God's going to provide you food, but you need to use that energy from that food to put every single ounce of that energy into building the kingdom of God. That should be the center of our whole lives, is to build the kingdom of God. The third thing is seek it for sanctification. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as children of God, we should spend our whole life seeking him and seeking to learn to know him. As we learn to get to know him and spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, obey him and what he wants us to do, sharing the gospel with others, being a good witness to others, that allows us to be able to learn more and more of who God is and who we need to be and how God sees us and how God sees our sin that we take part in. And that allows us to get closer and closer to God. And as we draw closer, we learn to know him better. We see better of who he is, and we see more of what he wants. And like I said, that can only either, when you get there, when you're seeking him, either you're going to rebel against it because you're not going to want to give up yourself, or you're going to give up yourself completely. You can't just partially give up yourself and be half here and half here, because you know if I was cut in half, I'd be dead. But you can't be half and half. You're either one or the other. I can either be seeking myself, I can seek the things that please me, I can seek money, I can seek riches, or I can seek God. And if I seek God, he'll provide for me. God promises that if we seek him and his righteousness, he's going to provide for us. And there's a lot of people that are going to say, well, so if I seek God, then that means he's going to make me rich. No, that's not what he said. He said, all these things should be added unto you. But when you seek God and not self, you seek God, your desires aren't going to be for the things of self anymore. They're going to be for the things of God. So all these things that should be added unto you are the things that God knows you need to continue to seek him and to grow and to continue to serve him. Like I said, it's a compound effect, because if you seek God, the more you're going to grow, the more you're going to want to seek God, because you're going to start to see who God is and what he does, what he provides. If you seek self, you're not going to know what God provides. And so you're going to keep seeking self because self, the pleasures of self offer good things, but they're temporary. And in the end, they lead to destruction. If you seek God, I've heard it said this way. If you seek self, you're going to have little bursts of life along the way. But in the end, it's death. If you seek God and serve God and follow God, you're going to have little deaths along the way. But in the end, it's eternal life. So he's just saying, and like I said at the beginning, God doesn't give us, Jesus didn't give the option here. He didn't say if you want to seek God, because you know, we all know if he gave us the option, we'd jump over here. Because we can't see eternity. It's only by faith that we know that God is going to give us that reward when we seek him. So we'd all come over here. But Jesus says there's not an option. I'm telling you that this is what you do. And that's not an option. He said that all these things should be added unto you. So he knows that when you seek him, he knows what your needs are, and he's going to provide for that. We have to trust him that he knows. In verse 32, he says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Whenever we're seeking God, there might be things that we think we need that God knows we don't need. And they're not necessarily sinful things. But God knows that right now we don't need that because that's not going to be healthy for our growth. That's not going to help us to build the kingdom of God. And so we have to learn to trust God that everything he does in our lives is for our good. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So we have to be willing to, when you jump on God's side to seek his kingdom and to seek him and serve him, you have to be willing to give up everything of yourself, all of your selfish desires. Yes, I can seek God, but one selfish desire is going to hinder me from doing something that God wants me to do. And as humans, we're going to mess up, but God gives grace. Like I said, every morning, God's mercies are new. So we have to just trust him completely. You have to be willing to give up your selfish desires, even if they're not sinful. Because maybe that's not what God wants you. And that doesn't mean that if God doesn't want you to have it right now, he's never going to want you to have it. I have a testimony about that. And I know that all of you know me. I'm dating pastor's daughter. So I have a little testimony of before I started talking to her that kind of goes along with this. So I started coming to church here and I saw her. I thought she was pretty. And I would meet up with pastor and talk about the Bible and ask him questions. And I was kind of interested in talking to Addie. So eventually, I got up the nerve to ask him if I could talk to her. And he's like, that's fine, just at church or whatever, and if she's interested. So I waited and waited and I prayed about it and I felt peace that that's what God wanted me to do. So I waited and waited, and she was always talking to people, which I don't blame anybody for wanting to talk to her. She's definitely pretty. So I don't blame anybody. All the guys were wanting to talk to her, and anyway. So I started to get impatient. I was like, I mean, God, I thought that you wanted me to do that. Why can I not get an opportunity? I was just waiting and waiting, not pushing it, but just waiting. And finally, I started to get impatient. I kept saying, okay, when I'm at church today, I'm going to talk to her. Well, it was bad because I would wait until everybody would leave, awkwardly standing around. I wouldn't get an opportunity to talk to her. One day, I was like, all right, it's now or never, and I'm doing it today. So I waited and waited, and I could not get a chance. I went home that afternoon. I was just annoyed. I'm like, come on. Like, I thought this was supposed to happen. And it hit me that I am not following God's timing. I'm being impatient. I'm trying to push it. And God is shutting me down and not giving me an opportunity. So I was coming back to church that afternoon to talk to pastor about something. And on the way to church, I was like, you know what? I got to give it to God. Because if I don't, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen now, then that's what God wanted. So I gave it to God. I said, God, if you want this to happen, make it happen. If you don't want it to happen, that's fine, and I'm moving on. So I got to church, and Addie and her siblings are hanging around here, and they're playing the piano. I got done talking to Pastor, and I'm walking out, and I hear the piano playing. The lights are off. This was when we were meeting over in the fellowship hall. And I walk past there. Addie's sitting at the piano all by herself. And I'm like, wow, God. You wanted this to happen. But I'm not saying that to be funny. That's just a testimony of how when we seek God, all these things are going to be added unto us. That wasn't a wrong desire for me to want to get to know Addie and to have a relationship with her, but I was trying to do it in my own timing. And that's not at all what God wanted. God was wanting me to wait, and that's why he wouldn't give me an opportunity to talk to her. As soon as I gave it up and said, God, it's yours. If you want it to happen, make it happen. If not, don't let it happen. And it was like 2 hours later, and I talked to her. And you guys all know where it went from there. But so that's just a testimony of, and that's just one small thing. And I know that if you have spent any time seeking God, every one of you could come up here and share a testimony of how that's happened in your life. Because that's how God works. So that I just wanted to share that as encouragement to seek God. I know that's a small thing, but seek God in everything you do. Whenever you go to work, don't go to work to get money for me so I can provide food for me and my family. No, you go to work so you can serve the Lord. The money is the Lord's money. And you can use that. He gives you that money to provide for your family, but first, your first priority is to give to him. Your first priority is to seek him. And so he wants you to do everything to seek him and serve him. It's hard, very hard, to let go of the things that we need, that we want, our physical needs. It's natural. We want to provide for ourselves. And even sometimes, it doesn't seem like we're not chasing money. We're not trying to get rich and have the nicest cars and the nicest house and the fanciest things. But we're still worried and anxious about how God's going to provide for us. Like, I don't really have any money, but I need to buy food for the next week. How am I going to do that? Well, God says, if you give it to me, I'm going to provide for it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to share the burden that you put on my heart in this passage. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit worked in hearts tonight, and that your name was glorified, that your name was lifted up. God, I pray that you would just continue to help us each day to seek you first, to not be worried or anxious about what's going on in our lives, what's going on tomorrow, next year. God, I pray that you would just continue to help us, give us strength. And I know the devil wants to discourage us. He wants us to be worried and anxious about what's tomorrow and the physical needs that we have. But God, I pray that you would just give us faith in every one of us and just strengthen our faith in that and help us to realize that when we seek you, you provide for those things, and that seeking you is the most important thing in our life, and that's why you put us here, is to seek you and serve you. So God, I pray that you would just help us with that. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen.